tell you as your pastor that I've been more burdened for our people at this time of my ministry than ever. It seems like so many, as I can pray through the directory, you're carrying struggles and weights and sickness and death, and then just job issues or marital issues or home life issues, or there are just so many people that are dealing with pain and suffering. And I wish that you could all know each other's pain and suffering, because when we come in this place, we tend to mask it and we tend to act like we have it all together. But I have to tell you that there's not anybody in here that has it all together. Everybody's hurting, and now more than ever, it seems like we have people that are discouraged and people that are hurting. And number one, that's okay, because that's life. But number two, that there is a God that's with us in our suffering. There is a God of comfort, and I know that God wants to do something in us and among us. I know that He wants to do something in me, and so I'm excited about a sermon series that won't start today, but will start next Sunday, I believe. It will start in August, and I feel like now is the time. It's what we need in our church, and so I invite you to come back. More information will come on that, but you know, and I know, that life can be hard. Amen? It's hard. Life is hard. You think, why this, Lord? Why this? Why this in my life? And sometimes it's the big things, but sometimes, if you're honest, it's just the little things. And it's a little thing here, and a little thing here, and a little thing here. Life is made up of the big things, the catastrophic events, or the life-changing moments. But it's also made up of these little things that all of a sudden they add on our plate, and we just go, Lord, why this? Or you ever find yourself saying, why now? Why at this point in life? Why now? Why this trial? Why this crisis? Why this sickness? Why this difficulty? So there's a lot of that right now in our church, in our members, and a lot of them are not here. They're not able to be here. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of adversity. It's emotional. It's physical. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of tough situations. And so this week, I was reminded of a psalm, or I was led to a psalm, and the psalm spoke directly to my heart, and I thought, this is God's psalm for our people today. It will speak directly to your heart. And as many times as I've read this psalm, I have never noticed the outline that God has in this psalm, the outline that the psalmist gives us, and it's found in the book of Psalms, book number 5. It's Psalm 107. So I invite you to turn to Psalm 107. I've titled this morning's sermon, Four Pictures from Problems to Praise. How do you go from the problems that you're experiencing to praise? How can we be transformed from problems to praise? And the psalmist is going to take us there, but he's going to take us there really on a great journey with visuals or with pictures, even mental pictures of how God leads us through the problem to a point where we can praise His holy name. And that's what we did when we were singing, I Will Rise. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. I want you to look at the first three verses. This is just the opening. Look at how the psalmist opens the psalm, Psalm 107. He says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's capital L-O-R-D. It's a reason. That's Yahweh. It's the name of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. How many of you know that even in the storm, God is good? Right? There are songs that sing about that. Even in the storm, God is good. We're going to see that today. So he says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He says this, for His steadfast love endures forever. That word steadfast love is the Hebrew word hesed. It's going to be used 5 times in this psalm. God's hesed. What is God's hesed? It is God's royal, loyal love. His loyal, never stopping, never ending, never failing, never giving up love. It is God's beautiful, beautiful love for us. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. Why? For His steadfast love endures forever. Look at verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble or from the hand of the foe. Redeemed here is used twice in this verse. Redeemed is that great picture of where God buys as His own. God redeems you out of the cage of sin and death and suffering and that pet shop from hell, and He buys you as His own, and He takes you home as His own. And He says, here, I'll feed you, I'll nourish you, I'll set you free. He redeems people to this day. And He says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, if you have been rescued, then give testimony to God. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That to me sounds like Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. From all over the globe, God has redeemed people and He brings them together. And we're going to hear this testimony about how the Lord is good. There are four types of people that are going to give God testimony, or that can give God testimony that the Lord is good. And we're going to examine them today. But in order to study this psalm, I want to point out to you the refrains. There are two refrains, two phrases that are repeated, and they're repeated four times. This helps us to outline this psalm when we start to notice, hey, wait, that was repeated here and here and here and here four times. Here's the first refrain. You see it in verse 6. He says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Have you been there? Have you done that? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and what did God do? And He delivered them from their distress. You see it in verse 6, you see it in verse 13, you see it in verse 19, you see it in verse 28. So you just pick one of those verses and memorize it, and you've just memorized four verses of Scripture. Because four times it is repeated. This is the refrain. Then they cried to God in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. They cried, He delivered. They cried, He delivered. They cried, He delivered. Do you understand what we do and what God does? They cried, He delivered. And so I want you to write this down on your sermon outline there in the bulletin. This is our prayer in God's provision. This is what we're to do. We pray, we cry out in our trouble, and God delivers. He rescues from distress. Our prayer, God's provision, God provides. He provides. And sometimes He delivers us out of it. Sometimes He walks with us through it. Our prayer, God's provision. Sometimes, if we're honest, our world has to fall apart before we'll pray. I mean, that's me. That's you. When things are going good, we don't pray maybe as often as we should, but let our world fall apart. Let our world turn upside down. And what else do we do? To whom else would we go? We pray. There are so many now that are praying, right? Why? God, I'm crying out to You in my trouble. And God will deliver us from our distress. You see, man's work and God's work. This is what we do. We pray, He saves. That's the first refrain. There's also another refrain that also occurs four times. Look at verse 8. He says this, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love. That's that hesed. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. You see it in verse 8. You see it in verse 15. You see it in verse 21. And you see it in verse 31. If you're taking notes, write this P down. This is our praise. We see our prayer and God's provision. And then when He does it, we see our praise. He says this, let them thank the Lord. Why? Because His chesed is with us. For His loyal love, His steadfast love, His loving kindness, and for His wondrous works to the children of man. This is what we should do. We should thank God for His wonderful works. We sang about His wonderful words. But God not only gives us wonderful words, He does wonderful works in our lives, and you're going to see it. And so as I began to study this psalm, you think there's got to be a clue to those four refrains. They cried, He delivered. There's got to be a clue to those four things. Well, then let them thank God. And so what you see is you see an outline of four points. They are four problem pictures. Four problem pictures, if you will. It's like He takes us and He wants to show us visuals, and He wants us to give us a picture of four problem scenarios that you walk through in life, that I walk through in life. So I want you to see problem picture number one. I want you to write this down. The desert wanderers. The desert wanderers. Look at verses 4 through 9. I like how the ESV opens the translation on verse 4 because he says some. And if you have an ESV version, that's another way to outline this passage. You're going to see some in verse 4. You're going to see some in verse 10. You're going to see some in verse 17. You're going to see some in verse 23. And so we're looking at some people. Here's person number one that we're going to look at, the desert wanderer. We stopped in verse 3. Let's pick up verse 4 through 9. Some wandered in desert waste. Have you been there? Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Have you experienced that? Look at verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Ah, there's that refrain. And he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Verse 8, there's the refrain again. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. The first picture that the psalmist paints for us is that of a desert wanderer. I wonder how many of you, that's your trial in life right now. You feel like the desert wanderer. You feel like someone who, Lord, I'm just going through a dry time. It's like the desert and my soul is longing. I'm thirsty and I can't find anything. I have no direction. There's no city for me to dwell in. I feel lost. I've lost my way. My soul is fainting. Look at what he says. They wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. They're hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. But they do the refrain in verse 6. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble. When you're in the desert, that's what you have to do. That's the only thing you can do, right? When your spiritual canteen is empty. And then he says, God delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way. And he's their compass till they reached a city to dwell in. So if God saves you from the desert experience in life, then you do verse 8. You let them thank the Lord, he says, for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Why? Verse 9 tells you why. Because he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with good things. He can fill us. And so, you know, I think about some in our sanctuary today and some in the ministry today and churches that I've been in. I've seen it. I've been there myself. Have you been there? Right? I've seen those that are wandering in the desert. They're wandering in life. Or they're lonely in life. They feel all alone there at school or on the job or in the community or even in their home. They're lonely. Or they're confused. God, I don't know what you want for me. It's like I have no direction nor no compass. It's like I'm not hearing from you. I feel like I'm in the desert. I'm confused. Or I see those that are needy. God, I'm just needy for you. I don't have anything, God. I'm dry. My checking account is dry. My health is dry. This is dry in my life. The truth that we see in the psalm is this, is that God guides the lost. He guides the lonely. He guides those that are longing. God feeds the hungry. So if you want to write this down, if you give it an R, write this down. God redirects. God redirects. For the desert wanderer, praise God that God redirects, that he redirected Israel, right? I mean, time and time again, they were wandering in the wilderness and God redirected them. When they were in captivity, God redirected them and let them come home. They knew what it was like to be redeemed. They knew what it was like to be desert wanderers. And many of you do too. Maybe this is the picture that you identify with this morning. What do you do? Just be honest. Cry and pray, trust God's deliverance, and thank Him. Thank Him. The next picture, picture number two, is this picture that he wants to paint for us, is that of the prisoners. Look at verses 10 through 16. Some were prisoners. Let's look. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God. Perhaps that's why they were prisoners. Verse 11, and they spurned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12, so he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Verse 15, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men, for He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. He paints this next picture and he says, some were prisoners. Some were prisoners. Some were chained, and it wasn't in, you know, a prison with cable TV and lights and nice. It was in a dungeon, if you will. It was in darkness. It was in the shadow of death. I wonder about you. Have you lost your freedom? You thought, God, I had this freedom, and now it's been taken away from me. Maybe you've been taken captive by something. You feel like there's none to help. Do you feel trapped, right? At times, that's us. We feel trapped to sin. We feel addicted. We feel chained. Look at what he says. Some sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction. I don't know what it is that's chained you, right? And in irons, he says, they're shackles. Why? Sometimes it's because of our own bad choices. He says, verse 11, they rebelled against the words of God. Sometimes that leads us to addiction and to chaining, to suffering. He says, we spurn the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12, so he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. There's judgment. Sin always has judgment. Sin always has a punishment. Sin always has consequences. And listen, child of God, the physical consequences may remain. The spiritual consequences can be forgiven. But sometimes the physical consequences of sin remain. So there are things that we're chained to. Yes, our chains are gone spiritually. And yes, we can be forgiven. But sometimes we suffer here on earth. Look at what he says. They bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. But they do, verse 13, and this is repentance. This leads to restoration. This leads to rescue. Look at what he says. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness. Spiritual darkness, right? For Israel, sometimes it was literal darkness and captivity. And the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. So what do you do? Verse 15, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop loving us. No sin is too great, right? No problem is too big. His wondrous works to the children of men. Look at verse 16. I love this. Thank God for it. He shatters the doors of bronze, and he cuts in two the bars of iron. Man, he would do it in the New Testament, right? And people would go free, walk out of prison, right? Maybe that's you today. Maybe you feel like you identify with this one. I've seen it in ministry, right? I've been there. I've seen those that were shackled. They were shackled by sin or shackled by addiction. Let's not kid ourselves. In this church, we have people shackled by addiction. Let's just be honest. It's the truth. It's the truth. We have people shackled by habits. Why do I keep doing that? Or chained by unforgiveness. I'm bitter, ugh. And it's just bars. It's a prison. We have people chained to bitterness and unforgiveness, right? Abuse, right? I don't know what was done to you or you feel like you were abused in such a way. Maybe it was physical. Maybe it was emotional. Somebody cuffed you, if you will. Look at what God does. God not only gives the desert wanderer direction, but He sets the prisoner free. So write down this R. God releases. God releases. God redirects the desert wanderer, and God releases the captives. He releases the prisoner. Thank God our chains are gone through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Look at verse 17. We're going to see the picture number 3. I want you to write this down. Some were sick and suffering. The sick and suffering. See a picture there. I thought it was pretty interesting, a neat. It's a Jewish girl. She's mourning over the grave of an Israeli soldier that was killed. And I can only imagine, you know, her love for him and her heart for him. And many of you have been there. You've either suffered through death or through sickness. So look at verses 17 through 22. He says, some were fools. They're foolish through their sinful ways. And because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. So they suffered. He says this, verse 18, they loathed any kind of food. Have you been there so sick you couldn't eat? Ah, just the, the radiation, the chemotherapy, the disease, the sickness, maybe the suffering. You're just to a point where you're so grieved you can't eat. They loathed any kind of food. He says, and they drew near to the gates of death. Now, we've had people in our congregation that have done that, that have been at death's door, knocked on it. Man, praise God, God's delivered them. Look at verse 19. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. That's what we did around Billy's bed. That's what we did around Allie's bed. This is what you've done, right? And sometimes this is what God does. Sometimes He delivers us from our distress through healing. Sometimes He walks with us as we go through it. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. Verse 20, He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So what do? Verse 21, there's the refrain. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love and His wondrous works to the children of men. And verse 22 says, let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. Man, if God delivers you, you tell about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, is what He said. Man, you tell people, God has done this for me. You sing songs of joy. You give praise. Wonder about you. Have you felt that way? Have you lost your health? Have you been near death's door? You know, I've seen those in ministry. I've seen those here at church that were there, that were sick or were at death's door. They battled disease or they battled cancer or they battled pain, right? You've seen it. But what God does is He heals and He restores. And He will. He will. Sometimes the greatest healing is for Him to call the child of God home, right? One day there'll be no more pain and no more suffering. God's restoring all things. Right now we're just in a process. We're not quite there. But He does. So I want you to write down this R. God restores. God restores. I love what C.H. Spurgeon says about verse 20. He says, man is not healed by medicine alone, but by the Word of God. And that's true even today. We have more medicine available than any other time. But look at verse 20. The Bible says, He sent out His Word and healed them. And I'm reminded, that's how we're healed. It's not just by all the medical technology at Emory or at other places. Medicine alone, right? No. But yes, medicine. God works through doctors and medicine and technology. Where do you think all that knowledge came from? It came from God Almighty. That's why I thank God for technology. That's why I thank God for medicines. He gave that knowledge to men. But ultimately, we're healed by His Word. He sent out His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He did this to the Jew that was in captivity, right? He restores. So whenever God redirects, whenever God releases, or whenever God restores, we should give testimony and praise. Look at verse 22. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. Whenever He does these things, we're to tell about it. We're to proclaim it. Look down at verse 32. In verse 32, He's going to say, again, if God's done these things for you, verse 32, let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. This is what we're to do. So we see the desert wanderer, we see the prisoner, and we see the sick and suffering. Thank you, Doc McStuffins. Right? We see people that are sick and suffering and need God, right? And God is with us. He's with us. Last picture, number 4. Maybe He spends a little more time on this one. Picture number 4 is the storm battered. The storm battered. You see this picture, it made the Birmingham News front page when this tornado went through the Pleasant Grove area, Tuscaloosa and Birmingham and Pleasant Grove. We went to places just like this and served. This is a picture of a grandmother holding her grandchildren. It was a legit picture. Some of us are storm battered. Look at verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. And Eric threw up, right? Verse 26, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Have you been there? Has the storm, you say, God, I don't even know what to do anymore. It's like I'm staggering around on the ship and I don't know what to do. I'm at my wits' end. Look at verse 28. There's the refrain. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. So what do? We do the refrain, verse 31. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Some of us are storm battered. I mean, we use it in the songs that we sing. There are so many that talk about it. Right? The wind and waves, they still know his name, but we're tossed by the storms of life, the wind, the waves of life. And so maybe that's you today. I don't know what your storm is, physical, emotional. Maybe you feel like you've lost hope. Maybe you feel like you've lost control. I have no control in life, God. It's like wherever the wind and the waves carry me and they're crashing all over me, God. Maybe you've lost courage, right? He says this in verse 26, their courage melted away. I've been there, right? Sometimes I think I'm still there, right? On one day I can be so brave, and the next day I can just be lacking such courage. God, what do I do? All right? That's how these sailors felt. Have you lost courage? Have you been at your wit's end? Sure, we have, right? Because a lot of us are. I've seen those battered by storms. I mean, some lost their houses to tornadoes, like you saw. I mean, I've seen literally those who were battered by storms in our church. Some lost jobs. Remember those? Pray for me. I've lost my job. The company's downsizing. It's outsourcing things. Some had financial storms in their life. Some had marital storms. Some had parental storms. You see, storms come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? I mean, and you never know when they're coming. It's like one moment and then boom, everything changes, right? I'm just hit with this. What do you do? What do you do? Well, the R here is this. Praise God that God rescues. Write that down. God rescues. God rescues. This is what he did for the children of Israel. Doesn't mean that you don't go through the desert. Doesn't mean that you don't ever find yourself captive to something. Doesn't mean that you're never going to get sick and suffer. Doesn't mean that you're never going to go through the storm. But when you go through it, God is with you. And God rescues. And ultimately, he will do all of these things. Look at verse 26. I made a joke of it, but just kind of hoping that you would get the point. He says this, they mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Isn't that life? Ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, right? We see it. So I love this psalm because we all find ourselves in the desert, in prison, in the doctor's office, in the storm. And in all those things, in those four problem pictures, the question is this then, well, who really is in control? Who really is good and loving, and who really is in control? I want to show you that there are some contrasts. If you're taking notes, the contrasts show us that God is in control. Look at how the psalm ends. The psalm begins saying, look, give thanks to God. He's full of loyal love. And if he's been good to you, then you've been redeemed and purchased out of these situations, then praise God. But look, you're going to go through deserts. You're going to go through prison experiences. You're going to go through sickness and suffering. You're going to go through the storm. But he ends by showing us, let me just show you who's really in control of all of these things. And we see that God is in control. God is in control. Look at verse 33. God turns rivers into a desert. Now that's like judgment, because now all of a sudden the river's gone to a desert. He turns rivers into a desert. He turns springs of water into thirsty ground. A faithful land into a salty waste. Remember when he did that with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? All of a sudden Lot's wife in the land, right, at times. He does this. God's in control. He says, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. But look, on the other flip side, he also does this. Verse 35, notice the contrast. He also turns a desert into pools of water. Man, thank God for that. A parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. Oh, praise God for that. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Verse 39, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless waste. But he raises up the needy out of affliction, and he makes their families like flocks. That's what I pray for. Verse 42, the upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Verse 43, whoever is wise, you want to be wise? Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The contrast, the end here, shows us that God is in control. God is in control of all things. He can do whatever he wants. God is in control. And so when our world is turned upside down, we are told to do this. Stop, observe, and consider. Because look at verse 43. I think this is the key to suffering. I think this is the key to making it through the desert and making it through the storm and making it through the suffering and the hardship that so many of you are going through. Verse 43. When you do it, when you're through it, going through it, look at verse 40. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. So we have to attend to these things. And then it tells us what to attend to, what to give our attention to. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Doesn't that change everything? Doesn't it change everything to stop and to think about God's chesed and his loyal love? So when you're here, you stop and you go, man, I've got to focus not on the desert and not on the emptiness, but I've got to focus on crying out to God in my trouble, him saving me from my distress, thanking the Lord for what he's done, and I'm just going to stop and consider God's loyal love. That he'll fill me. So I think about him. I think about his said, not about this. When I'm here, it doesn't matter. In all these situations, what am I giving my attention to? Not the wind and the waves. I'm giving my attention to God Almighty, to his loyal love. Do you see it? I don't know how I missed it all these years. Reading over this beautiful psalm. It's like, thank you, God. Now this is one of my favorites. Consider God's chesed. As we close, I think about some great preachers, and even Spurgeon, who would say, you always preach Christ. Everything would point to Christ. I would think about this psalm, and even this Old Testament psalm reminds me of Jesus. Do you know why? Because Jesus survived and he won in the desert, didn't he? When the temptation came in the desert, Jesus survived and he won for us. He's been through the desert for you and for me. Think about Jesus, because do you know what? Jesus sets the captives free by becoming an executed prisoner for me, right? By him being that executed prisoner, he said, Eric, for you to be the captive, now you can go free because I was killed in your place. Think about Jesus. Jesus has healed the sick. He has raised the dead. I think about Jesus. Jesus has calmed the storm. Jesus has walked on the water. Jesus has said, be still, and it happened. And so I see Jesus in this psalm. Jesus has overcome it all for us. And guess what? Jesus is still able. Amen? Amen. Do you believe it? It's hard when we're there, right? It's hard sometimes to believe it. But Jesus is still able. It does not matter what we're going through as a church. Individually and corporately. And to me, we're in this thing corporately. If you suffer, I suffer. If you mourn, I mourn. If one of us weeps, we should weep with the other. Right? But God is able. Why? Just consider his steadfast love. Just consider his chesed. And then we open up the Gospels and we see his chesed. We see his loyal love and how far Christ loved us when he loved us all the way to the cross, when he loved us all the way to the resurrection, when he loved us all the way to the ascension, when he loved us all the way to Pentecost and poured out the Holy Spirit. God's with us. He loves us. And guess what? When he loved us all the way to saying, I'm coming back. I wipe every tear away. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. There's a new day coming. And thank God for that. There are two more verses that remind me of something. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, he led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Verse 36 says, "And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in." These two verses remind me that there is a city with life and liberty, no more sickness, death, or storms of life. It is the city of Christ, and it is coming. He will establish it for us. And I ask you this question, will you be there? Will you be there? The psalm says, this is how you can be there. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord for salvation. Cry out to the Lord for deliverance. And He'll save us. This is the Word of God. And that's all I have for us today. You bow your head and you pray. Heavenly Father, You have given us everything we need. Lord, we need nothing else. Lord, we need no more of my words or others' words or exposition of this passage. Lord, now it just speaks directly to our hearts. And God, I pray for our people. Lord, I pray for those in Adairsville. I pray for those all around us in our families. Lord, I'm sure there are things that I don't even know about, Lord, but where we all identify directly. Lord, I pray for those whose spiritual life is dry. I pray for those who are chained to something. Lord, I pray for those who are battling just sicknesses and suffering in their life. Lord, things are not, the health is not the way it used to be. But God, I pray for those that are most of all just going through the storms. And God, we need You. Lord, we need to experience Your glory. We need to experience Your grace. We need that chesed to remain. And thank God, thank You that it does. Thank You that You love us. And thank You that You're going to give us a testimony, God. And when we come through all of this, we're going to be able to just rejoice and thank You and extol You and sing Your praises, God. I pray we wouldn't suffer in silence. I pray that we could unite as a people of God and You could save us. And so, Lord, my prayer is for this church and for these dear people. Lord, if there are people that need to be saved, I pray that today is that day. Lord, for everyone that carries a burden, for the broken, I pray that we could just pour out our brokenness on the altar today. We could bow. We could be honest with You, crying in our trouble. Lord, we love You. And we thank You for Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Amen.